gentlemen, welcome. My name is Bobby Rodriguez, and just to make sure you know where you are at Priorities, How to Make Your Time Management Glorifying to God. I am a children's pastor at Watermark Community Church. I'm in charge of our fourth and fifth grade ministry, but I'm really passionate about the subject that we're talking about today, priorities. The time management piece is going to be handled by Steve. Steve, you want to tell who you are?
Yeah, I'm Steve Ratliff. So I am not a professional pastor like Bobby. I work in finance for an oil company. So we'll get a little bit more to that here in a little bit.
All right. Well, I'm going to start with just telling you a little bit about me and how I came to Christ. So I am 45 years of age. I did not become a believer until I was 33 years old. So I've only been walking with Christ for about 12 years. In that 33 years of my life, I was kind of a nominal Catholic. My parents were both Catholic when I was growing up. I went to a Catholic school through fifth grade. I'd never taken a First Communion. I had never really understood anything about the gospel or the Bible or really any of that. My parents tried to raise me as a moral kid. That worked. By the world standards, I would say I was a decently moral kid. But what that also means is the world standard is not the best standard to go by. And so my life was led kind of looking for the next big thing. My priorities were based on what could bring me the most pleasure. So you would see that would kind of be centered around stuff. Well, how much money did I have, and how what job was I doing, and around women. How many of those were, what was I pursuing, and how many were allowing me to pursue them? And so those first 33 years of my life were spent doing just that, chasing after money and women. And what I found was it left me empty all the time. But I also found that there was always another girl or always another thing to buy. And so something would always sort of roll into place when one of those things let me down. I was living with a young lady. We had been together for about 4 years. We had broken up six times. Six times I had said, hey, I think there's greener grass over here, and broken up with this girl. God bless her. Six times she took me back. Hey, I think maybe it's been a few months. Let's try this again. On the seventh time, we happened to be living together. I said, I think this is not really going to work out. Like, I think I'm going to go ahead and move out. So I moved out, and I paid for her to stay there. About 3 months later, it was time for that lease to be over for us to move out of that apartment we were living in. And that was about my normal MO. I said, let's try this one more time. I really think this could work. By God's grace, that young lady said, absolutely not. There's no way I'm doing that with you again. That was a radical shift for me. The fact that she didn't respond to what I thought was the right thing to do, and that I couldn't just snap my fingers and kind of have us back together again, put me into a depressive tailspin. I hyper-focused on that relationship. I specifically remember one time knocking on her door and then being asked by the police to please evacuate the premises. And so that process brought me to the end of myself. What I found was that I would rather die than to continue to experience the pain and the loss of that relationship. The fulfillment that it brought me was more important to me than continuing to live. So I planned to kill myself. That sounds like, wow, that's a crazy thing. And it really is. And in fact, I went and into a Walmart. Just to tell you, I'm a city guy. I don't do a lot of hunting. I don't know where to really buy a gun. And so I went into a Walmart thinking I could buy a handgun that I was going to use to kill myself with. And so when I walked in, the gentleman said, "Well, we have a shotgun and we have a BB gun. We don't have a 9mm handgun that you're looking for." And so I thought, God, you're good like that. I'm either going to blow my head off completely and make an ugly mess for somebody to clean up, or I'm going to shoot myself in the eyeball 1,000 times with this BB gun to get this job done. And so I went home. That was a total defeat. I was on the floor, and I know I'm amongst men, and I'm not ashamed of this. I was on the floor weeping. I had no hope at that point. Because I had been to a Catholic school, I believed that there was a God. I didn't know about this Jesus character. I didn't know about the Trinity or the atonement of Christ on the cross for my sins. I just was laying on that floor crying. And I said, God, if you're real and you want to do something with my life, you are going to have to do it. I was going to kill myself today. It was going to be over, and I couldn't even get that done. If you will just take this pain away from me, I will do anything you want me to do. Please just take this pain away from me. I went to bed, and I woke up the next day, and I felt exactly the same. I still was in a massively bad, depressive tailspin. It was ugly. But what did change, and what I can see now, 12 years later, was that my life was on a trajectory, and that trying to fill my heart with stuff and girls, acclaim in any way I could, had me on this path. And I had been there before. I had been in that depressed state, but there was always another girl that kind of came along. And so it would just kind of continued on. And what I saw was that if I stayed on this path, I was going to die that way, depressed and sad. But God that day said, and He just turned a little switch in my heart. And it said, hey, instead of filling yourself with your heart with things and women, try filling your heart with me. Let me give you, that's what it was. It wasn't that I tried to do anything. He gave me a desire to fill myself with Him. Later on, I met a man named Bill Robertson. Anybody in the room know Bill? Good. He shared the gospel with me. He helped me to see and know and understand what the Trinity was and the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for my sins, and that by faith I could be saved. I accepted that truth, that by faith I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. And my life today looks radically different than it ever would have there. I would have been dead. And now I get the joy and the pleasure of leading a family of four. I get the joy and the pleasure of leading a ministry of children who are eager and hungry to know more about Christ. And even ones that don't, I get to help them develop a hunger and a desire for God's Word. And so that story, that testimony, is living proof. If you, and you're in this room, you're here with us, you're at a conference about giving yourself to the Lord and knowing more about Him and communing with other men. But if there's ever an inkling of doubt that creeps into your mind about the power of Jesus Christ and the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit in your life, you can think about me, someone who is a walking dead man, but Christ came into my life and changed everything. And so when He changed everything, He taught me some things about prioritizing my life, about saying, hey, what is the most important thing to you? And so to start off, I want us to do that. I want to talk a little bit about what are you giving your time to every day. So let's take a look at your handout. My side of the handout is the talking man's side. It's the one with nothing on there, right? And so I'd love for you to take some notes. And for you, in that first top section, you see it says, so what do you give your time to every day? I want you to begin to write those things down. We are going to kind of build a list together, and I'll start it. The things that I give my life to every day. I'll definitely say I give my life to email a ton. I really enjoy my son's basketball team and my daughter's soccer team. So my kids' sports, I give myself to that a ton. I may not look like it, but I really enjoy gardening. It's a big part of my life. Right now I've got about 150 seedlings that are starting to kind of come along. We've had this really nice, kind of mild winter. I'm feeling kind of risky. I might even put out some tomato plants next month, a little early. I know it's crazy, but I might try it. So my garden is a big deal for me. Can I get you guys to start to give me some of the things that you give your life to? Now, before you do, I'm going to be honest with you. I want us to talk about what are the real things that we're giving our lives to. We know that it's part of what we should be doing to read our Bibles. And so my hope is that the assumption is that we're all putting Bible on our lists. But I also will say this. I have a cellular telephone, an iPhone, and it has a little program on there, a little application on there called Instagram. I can put, I don't know, 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes at a clip. No problem just scrolling through Instagram. And then let's talk about the reality of what that means. So those of you that are under 30 in the room probably get this more than those of us who are 45 and older. But it's real easy to look at Instagram and think, yeah, it's just me kind of connecting with people and looking at other pictures. When I know the depravity of my heart is But I'm looking at that Instagram, and I'm looking at my friend's girlfriend's feed, and I'm kind of scrolling through. Is there a bathing suit picture in there, or is there a picture of her in a workout outfit? And so for me, it doesn't look like I'm going around looking at Hustler magazine, but it certainly is still porn and what it does to my heart and where it's leading me. So I'm going to put that on my list. There are some things in there that would be not so great. And so not in the typical sense, but that's porn to me. So give me some things that you guys are giving your time to, some things that you every day make a priority for.
Work.
Excellent. What else we got?
School.
I like that, or I don't like that. Anyway. By the way, me having to bend over to this thing, this is my daughter's IKEA whiteboard. It's the best I can do for us, gentlemen. What else we got? School, work.
Just technology in general.
Yep, tech is definitely. What are some of the tech things that are eating us?
Streaming television.
Yep.
iPhone, Facebook, news articles. Yeah.
News, good. What else?
Stock.
What was it?
Stocks.
Got it. Yep. Talk radio, totally.
Politics.
I'll put those in the same thing. Okay, good. When we say our wife, what do we mean? How does that take up your time? Spending time with them, just in general, being in a room with them. Yep, that's great. Movies, I like that. Okay, we'll call that TV, right? Anything else?
Exercise.
Definitely, yes. Call it working out. Hopefully you're building your own list right now, listening to some of these other ideas that other men are talking about, writing those down for you on your list. That front side, the blank side of that page, I'm hoping that you'll leave with that, and it will be something that you will begin to address other parts of your life. Okay, I got to get moving. Let's dive into what the Bible says about how we should steward our time. I want to look at what our purpose should be. What is our purpose? I want you to do that right now. Write down in that little section, what do I give my time to? Write, my purpose is. And then you fill that in with whatever you truly believe. And that can be hyperbole, like I believe my purpose is to serve God, and you know, or it could be, I believe my purpose is to be an excellent employee. My purpose might be to get through school, get to the other side of that. That's all great. That's where we're starting from. It's not hopefully where we're going to end. It's where we're going to start from. What is my purpose? I want to go through and give you sort of a blueprint for 5 priorities in your life. 5 things that you can begin to look at and go, hey, those things are what my life is about. Those are what God has gifted me in some of those areas. I get to use my gifts to bring glory to Him in those 5 areas. I want you to run everything you do in your daily life through the filter of how does it fit into my 5 priorities. Now, is 5 the magic number? Did the book of Numbers tell me that we have 5 priorities? No, not at all. So yours might end up being 7 or 3. Mine happened to land on 5, so by nature, I'm going to tell you that those are the 5 that I want you to look at. Number one, your number one priority is to bring glory to God. And when I say that, bring glory to God, I also mean that number one priority is to have a relationship with Him. That your days need to be orchestrated in a way that you are not neglecting the Savior of the world, and not just the Savior of the world, but your Savior. The man who hung on a tree for you, so that you might be reconciled to God and have an eternal life with Him forever. Because the alternative, gentlemen, is hell. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm not a hellfire and brimstone person here, but honestly, it's hellfire and brimstone is the other alternative. When we don't think about, when we consistently only think about heaven and how awesome it will be to have Cain's chicken with no consequences.
Yes.
The other side of that is equally there. For those without faith, it's certainly there. And so I want us to live our lives in a way that not turns from that, but more so turns towards a Father who's given us freedom from that. So there's that. Glorify God. So Hebrews 12:2, bring glory to God, the author and finisher of your faith. He gave you that faith that you have that is salvific for you. And I want you to bring glory to Him. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. That's kind of an easy verse. That's one, 1 Corinthians 10:31. That should be high up in your flip chart of memory verses. Hopefully, if it isn't already in there, put it in there now. In all that you do, bring glory to God. Now, the verse actually says, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, bring glory to God. I want you to remember that piece about, in all things, bring glory to God. So that priority list that we're going to have, those five things, I have an opportunity to do something. How does it match up with my five things that I have in my life, that I have my life orchestrated around? If it doesn't fit, I don't do it. It's pretty simple. And you don't have to worry about whether or not you're missing out on something, or was there a better opportunity to do something? This is what God has gifted you to do. This is what you're passionate about. Stick with these things and let those other things sort of fall off. Romans 11:36. For in Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. We're talking about God there. Everything is for Him. It's all by Him. It's all through Him. And so we re-emphasize this place that our relationship with the Lord and prioritizing His glory should have. Your number one priority is that, if you haven't written it down already, bring glory to God and develop a relationship with Him. So you must prioritize your life around that. Number two, how many of us in the room are not married? Okay, great. So you're going to hear me talk from a perspective of a married man with children. But here's the deal. These priorities, gentlemen, are not ones that are to just be left to the wayside because I'm not there yet. Constant preparation for where God is going to be moving you is a good thing. And when you can prioritize your life in a way that brings glory to God in the same way that a man who's married with children might do, that is a glorious life for a single man. Okay, so we're not going to take these next two priorities away. We're just going to say, hey, someday, by the grace of God, that may be your lot. And so let's prepare, because you can't go wrong if that's the path that you take. Okay? All right. Our second priority is your role as husband and father. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Ooh, this one stings me real bad, gentlemen. Because it's telling me to die to myself as Christ died for the church, and that my job is to prioritize my wife, to love her in a way not that's going to keep her happy or have a hot dinner on the table when you get home or have sex with you when you want. That's not the priority here. He's saying, love her, die to yourself so that you might bring glory to me. There's a different attitude. If I'm not trying to manipulate Stacy Rodriguez, my wife, in the way that I care for her, if all I'm trying to do is care for her in a way that brings glory to God, it deepens my relationship with Him, my number one priority, but it's also a blessing to her. Okay, so let's keep that in mind. And also something I didn't mention about priority number one. Priority number one isn't just, all these other ones could be priority number one, A, B, C, and D. If we are going to do this well, if we're going to prioritize our lives well, we are going to keep this idea that bringing glory to God in all that we do as our number one priority, it will filter down and instruct how we do everything else. Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is head of the wife, as Christ also is head of the church, He Himself being the Savior of the body. Just more emphasis on our place as head of our wives, our call to not lord that power over her, but to care for her and love her, to bring glory to God in the way that we interact with her. Psalm 127, 3 through 5. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward, like arrows in the hands of a warrior. So are children, the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gates. Children. Our children are to be a priority. Number one, bring glory to God. Number two, love my wife in a way that is honoring and glorifying to God. Number three, love, care, and train our children to be followers of this glorious God who has saved us This one's, Zach, I think a little bit better illustration of that instruction that we're asking. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to the commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. And so that instruction, that call, Deuteronomy 6, the Shema, as that's called, right? Really early on our Bible, even our Jewish friends adhere to this piece of Scripture as something is very important, that we must train our children in the way they should go. Yes, sir? That was Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7. And so that call, that prioritizing of our role as husband and father is important because of what it can do to bring more glory to God as we train a child to love and care for a husband and a wife down the road. As we train a child to handle all of these things that we are giving our lives to. Tech, how do I interact with those things? That's what we're looking for you as a father to train. So again, we've now gone from bringing glory to God, how I develop my relationship with Him, and now we've moved into how does that influence my time and interaction with my wife and my children. And our third priority is that we have to be a provider for that family. And this is where we come back to you gentlemen who are unwed and have no children yet, that you have a job as well. Your job might be to be a student, right? Or what's that? Or at Best Buy, right? So that's great. That job that we have to do, if we can take that under the umbrella of our top priority to bring glory to God, it will enhance our influence. It's going to allow us to provide for the family that we have. It's going to be a consistent reminder that the God that we serve to others, that the God that we serve is a good God and one that calls us to excellence. Let's take some scripture there. Proverbs 22:29. Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will serve before kings. He will not serve before obscure men. You know, I think about Joseph constantly kind of pushed back, stuck in a hole, and then put in prison. And you just see that Pharaoh never misses his Joseph. Because Joseph was honoring God with the way that he was executing his daily work every day. He lived a life of excellence in his work. He didn't take an opportunity to surf the internet when he was at work, or he didn't miss an opportunity to serve those around him when he was at work, because his highest priority was bringing glory to God. And what did that do? It created influence for him to then be able to care for the Jewish nation because of the position that it put him in. It wasn't, his position was what allowed him to be able to care for his family and for Egypt. And what my call to you here is that as we consider God's glory and we perform our jobs, we should be a shining light in a dark place in our workplaces if that workplace isn't something like a church or some other ministry type field. So there's that. 1 Corinthians 10:31 again. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And that works down to the minutiae of how we work with others, how we perform for our bosses. We're not looking to perform for them. We are doing an excellent job that honors God and therefore should garner some influence for us. So first priority is going to be bring glory to God, develop your relationship with Him. That looks like what you learn through all of our Navigator things here. Studying your word, memorizing scripture, spending time alone with Him. Number two, your role as husband and father. Allow that to be led by your love and relationship for the Lord. And third is going to be how you perform at work. Am I a Joseph when I'm at work? Am I looking to honor God with how I spend my time at work? Priority four and five. It's for me here, it's blank. And the reason why it's blank on my notes is that you get to pick that. Because now we can see that the Bible's called us to excellence in those areas and to honoring Him with how we love our wives and our children and love Him are excellent at our work. For me, I have two other passions. Someone said working out. That's a passion of mine. And I also have a passion to garden. And so what I said was, how can I take a passion to garden and turn that into something that falls under this category of glorifying God all the time with everything I do? And so I thought about that. Lord, you've given me some desire to do that. How can I? There's a little Baptist church in my neighborhood. It's got a giant 1 acre field that they just mow. Every once in a while, the children's ministry comes out and maybe plays kickball on that field. But for the most part, that field has laid fallow, just getting mowed. And so I said, my desire is that we, this little church, which isn't my church, would be a light in this neighborhood and care for those in this small little pocket of homes that I live. So I walked and knocked on their door, and I said, Pastor Mark, would it be possible for me to put in a little garden? I want to turn this into a community garden, and here's my vision. It's not a community garden where you've got little plots of small little beds, but a large garden where every month we have people come out from the neighborhood, and we all work together to create an environment where there's going to be food grown and people come together. Mary and JJ are well into their 80s and don't get around well, so they can't help us, but they can certainly share some wisdom from their life about how to grow the best pumpkin, and they can come and take whatever they want. And if someone has never once helped to lift a single rake, they can walk by this garden and take 10 cucumbers if they want. Mark, what do you think about that? Well, I think that's a great idea. We've got a 160 by 60 foot garden that is continually maintained by people in our neighborhood, lesbians and atheists and Catholics and Buddhists. People are coming together, and I have shared my testimony in that garden a ton of times, and I would have never gotten to even make eye contact with most of those people had I not taken a passion for gardening and turned it into an opportunity to bring glory to God. Working out's the same thing. I'm passionate about that. I'm passionate about people knowing how to steward their bodies for God's glory. And I want to do that myself. And so I created a little ministry at my church for just our staff. And we take them through and we open the Bible and see what does the Bible say about how to steward your body. We take them through some workouts. We teach them how to do all those things. For the glory of God, I took a passion for working out and turned it into something that brings glory for Him. Now, that's all good and well, Bobby. You're a great guy. Let me pat you on the back and you can move on. I apologize. I got 1 minute and I'm done. Here's the key for you. On your sheets, there's somewhere that you've written down some things that you are really passionate about. And I want you to write those things into priority number 4 and priority number 5. And if you can fit it in, if you don't have a wife and kids, you might be able to put in a priority number 6 and a priority number 7. But I want you to think about it this way. Once it goes down, what are you going to do? How are you going to boost up that priority number 1 through priority number 5? And then here's the hard part. You've got to take a look at all of those other things. Fantasy football, NFL football, basketball, you name it. Making boats inside of bottles. I don't know whatever it is for you, but at some point you are going to have to say, I can't do that. I don't get a chance to do that anymore because God has gifted me in this way and He's given me a passion, and I am going to choose to prioritize my time, which we'll hear from Steve in just a minute. I'm going to choose to prioritize my time in a way that allows me to do number 1, glorify God through this priority number 5. And then you can start to think when opportunities come your way, because of the excellence with which you live your life, when opportunities come your way, you can look at your list. It doesn't fit. And you can look at another man and say, hey, I'd love to help you, but I can't. But would you want to join me in my garden? You are going to be able to bring glory to God in a way with an efficiency that you've never thought possible before. And I think that is honoring to God. It also leads to you not being subject to the tyranny of the urgent. And so if you haven't read that in a while, or if you haven't read it at all, I highly recommend that you read that from the Discipleship Library, The Tyranny of the Urgent. I think Steve will talk about it in a little bit. Thank you for your time. I pray that you, The Tyranny of the Urgent from the Discipleship Library, I pray that you would do this exercise and that it would bring glory to God. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, so while Bob is switching over the recording device to me, I'd like everybody just to stand up. It's the first session of the conference, right? So
many of you drove in late last night. I got in after midnight last night. Many of y'all got up earlier this morning. So just stretch a little bit. Do a little of that fitness Bobby was just talking about on stretching, getting the blood flowing. So, all right. So just to tell you a little bit about myself, my name is Steve Ratliff. I work in finance for an oil company. So we are an oil refiner. We buy crude oil, we boil it down, we sell it to you guys as gas or diesel to go in your cars, your trucks, maybe sell it to you as asphalt to pave the roads. So I work in our corporate office, again, in our finance group. So fortunately, we're dealing with billions of dollars. So pretty high priority decisions that are being made out of my office. So, and I say that to say that priorities and time management applies whether you're dealing with a billion-dollar decision, whether you're in school, whether you're married, you're unmarried. These principles that Bobby talked about apply to all of us. So I'm excited to kind of talk through some application tools that we can do to help us take these priorities that we just recorded, and now let's put them into practice. Let's get going on them, guys. Let's be productive. So let me first tell you my story of grace and protection. So my story of grace and protection, probably night and day different than Bobby's. I was born in a Christian household. My parents loved Jesus. They taught me and my sister and my brother about Jesus starting at an early age. Grew up in the church. You know, the felt board stories, we were all about that, you know, 25 years ago, 30 years ago. You know, and so I grew up in the church. I was around the gospel my whole life. And I accepted Christ at an early age. And so God showed me grace and protection throughout my life. I was protected by His grace, right? And so get into junior high, and that's whenever I start noticing my friends. Some of them start drinking. Some of them start smoking pot, 13, 14 years old. But I knew Christ, and Christ protected me away from that. He gripped my life, and I relied on Him. And in some of those years, I was a loner some of those years. Some of those years, I was in the, you know, sitting at the popular table. But my reliance was on Christ. High school just got even deeper. Those same friends, maybe some of the ones that went to church with me whenever I was 13, 14 years old, now they're diving off the deep end. They're jumping into those same things. But God took one kid that was in my church group, and he transferred in from another school to my school, and there were two of us. We had accountability between each other, and that was God's grace and protection in my life to keep me away from making poor decisions with girls, to keep me away from making poor decisions with alcohol and pot, because it was there. I was tempted with it. It was shown in front of me. But the Lord showed me grace and protected me. Get to college. And how many stories in here, and you don't have to raise your hand, but how many stories do you hear of that guy that grew up in the church, went to college, dove off the deep end because he's free, right? And that wasn't me either. So I went to Baylor, went to good old Baptist school down in Waco, and you know, I saw a lot of my friends. There's a lot of kids from my high school that went down there. Saw some of those guys dive off the deep end. But I surrounded myself with a good group of Christian men that were able to keep me accountable, and I was able to hold them accountable as well. Again, God's grace and protection in my life of just having community around me that's spurring me on towards love and good deeds towards others. So it's who you surround yourself is highly important. Easy time in your life in college to start chasing after women. I met one when I was 18. She knew the Lord. She had parents that knew the Lord and raised her in the same way as me. And we started dating at 18, dated all the way through college, and got married at 23. And again, that's God's grace and protection in my life that I wasn't falling into the same sin patterns that many of my friends did. Many of great examples. Bobby's a perfect example, a godly man who went down that path at a young age. The Lord showed him grace later in his life than he showed me, but I'm thankful for the protection that he showed me, and I'm thankful for stories that can, like Bobby's, that can encourage you as well. So that's my story of grace and protection, but it doesn't stop there, right? And so whenever I was in college, I thought I was just the busiest guy alive, right? I had class that I had to go to. I had so much homework. I had all these social activities that I needed to go to, and I thought I was busy. Graduated from college, jumped into the professional world. Wow, blew my mind. I had so much time in college. Now I'm busy. Now I'm a professional. I've got a job, you know, corporate hours. I'm busy now. I've got all this other stuff. Then a year later, I got married. Holy cow. my time, just my head exploded. I've got no time for anything. How am I so busy? I've got an older brother and sister. I'm like, what do y'all do all day? I'm so busy. How do y'all have so much time? Needless to say, they already had kids. I had no idea what I was getting into. I've got two kids now, a third on the way, and life is just getting busier and busier every year, and it's not going to stop. And so with kids, I'm thankful that they are that priority number two for me, my wife and family, that I get to steward them and teach them and lead them in the way of Deuteronomy 6. And thankfully, I've got men like Bobby that I'm not going to entrust my children to Bobby next. My daughter turns five. Actually, today is her birthday, turns five, and she'll be entering into Bobby's ministry world here next year, come what, August? So I'm not entrusting my kid to Bobby. I'm partnering with Bobby, and I'm showing my children the way of Christ at an early age, and Bobby's partnering along beside me, and he's showing them the same way. So that is a high priority for me. I'm not reliant on Bobby and on the church to teach my children. I'm doing it in the house. I mentioned I'm finance professional. I lead in our what we call Equipped Disciple at our church, and that's really what that is the 2-7 series through the Navigators, the 2-7 series. We call it Equipped Disciple. I lead in that ministry, and so I've got responsibilities there. Our church is set up in a community group model where we have small groups that meet in homes. I lead a community group, so I've got responsibility to those four families there. And I only say this because life is busy, and so prioritization and time management just takes a whole new meaning once you start realizing how busy we actually are. And so what I want to look to, Bobby mentioned Tyranny of the Urgent. The 2-7 series has a copy of that. So I just want to read a couple quotes out of here just to point towards what we're facing with. You remember, this was written in I believe it was 67. And these words still apply even more today, even with all the technological advances we have. But I'll start here. It says, quotes, "Your greatest danger is letting the urgent things crowd out the important. We live in a constant tension between the urgent and the important. The problem is that many important tasks need not be done today or even this week. Extra hours of prayer, Bible study, a visit to an elderly friend, working in the garden with, what'd you say, JJ? You know, reading an important book. These activities can usually wait a little longer. But often the urgent, though less important, tasks call for immediate response. Endless demands pressure every waking hour." Okay, guys, this was written in 67. They did not have a text coming through every 45 seconds. They did not have an email attached to their hip. I just happened to glance down at my phone to look at the time, and I have a text and an email from a coworker asking me a question. So that can wait, but it's constant, right? It's even more so now than it was, well, now 50 years ago when this was written. I turn to the back of this article. Again, I highly recommend reading the entire article, but then at the back, whenever it's kind of wrapping it up, it says, "As we hold to the teachings of Jesus and seek His wisdom in the decisions we make, He frees us from the tyranny of the urgent to do what is really important." And I highlight that. I want to use that to transition from, we know what our priorities are. Here's all the stuff we're caught in. Bobby just helped you lay out a list of 5 to 7 priorities. So we know what our priorities are. So how are we going to, in a God-honoring way, pursue those priorities over the rest? Here's a quote that I pulled from a book that I'm going to be sharing about in just a second. But Tim Challies wrote a book called Do More Better, and he defined productivity. "True productivity will never be better or stronger than the foundation you build it upon." All right, so let me ask this question. Bobby mentioned fantasy football earlier. I saw a couple people start laughing there. How many NFL fans, college football fans, just football fans in general, do we have in the room? So the most of you guys, a lot of you guys. Okay, so how do we build a foundation for productivity and time management? So Tim just talked about that quote about the foundation. So systems and processes. Okay, so what do Bill Belichick, Nick Saban, and Jason Garrett all have in common? They're all coaches, okay? What else? Very determined, very successful, right? We've got the Super Bowl champs, the runner-up in NCAA, and the best record in the NFC. Okay, right, so three coaches, very successful football teams. All three of them preach about trusting the process. It's even a joke about Bill Belichick and Nick Saban, right? The media members that cover them just joke about the process all the time because they constantly refer to trust the process, trust the system. Nick Saban is quoted as saying, focus on the process of what it takes to be successful. So he doesn't say focus on success. He says focus on the process of what it takes to be successful. So if we're going to be successful with our five priorities, we've got to have a process in place. So we've got to know how we're going to prioritize our priorities, how we're going to look at those and take that to our daily application of our life. So on the back page of your sheet, the first thing I've got started there is I've got a section on SMART goals. So I call it SMART goals because it's called an acronym that you take the SMART and you've got a measurable way of making a goal, of writing your goal. So the S for SMART stands for specific. And so what I mean by that is, what do I want to accomplish? Why do I want to accomplish this? What are the requirements to accomplish this? What are the constraints? So the more specific your goals are, the more likely you're going to achieve them. I like to use do you all remember the movie The Patriot? So Mel Gibson, I love that movie. Every time it's on TBS, I find myself watching it. Again, getting sucked into the TV movies, right? So I'm spending my time there. But he teaches his kids to hunt and to shoot, right? And does anybody remember what he tells his kids? Aim small, miss small. That's exactly right. So that's being specific. If I'm aiming for, I'm looking at the door right there. If I'm aiming at the door, am I just going to pick up the gun and pull the trigger just pointing like this? Or am I going to take aim and pick a very specific spot on that door? Same way with our goals. I want to be a better guy. Is that a good specific goal? No. So let's aim in a specific way that I can become a better guy. The M in the SMART is measurable. How will I measure my progress? How will I know when I've accomplished that goal? All right, using that same example, I want to be a better guy. Can I ever truly accomplish that? Or is that always going to be something I can work towards? Right, it's always something I can work towards. But let's write a goal in a way that I can measure the success. I'm going to treat my wife this way this many times, right? So, okay, those are functions. That's a goal pointed toward becoming a better guy, better loving my wife, but it's not, I want to be a better guy. The A stands for attainable. How can the goal be accomplished? What are the next logical steps I can take? Can you even do it? I mean, can I even become a better guy? I mean, that's the question there, right? The R is relevant. Is this a worthwhile goal? Is it a worthwhile goal for me, a guy sitting in finance for an oil company, to say, I want to walk on the moon in 12 months? Probably not. If I worked at NASA, maybe, but working for an oil refiner, probably not. So that's not really a relevant goal. Is this the right time? I want to be a better husband. Well, I'm not even married yet, so how can I be a better husband? How can I treat my wife better this year than I did last year? That's not the right time for that goal, right? Do I have the necessary resources to help accomplish the goal? So my goal, my fake goal, right, is, okay, I want to build $1 million house this year. Okay, I don't make near enough money to build $1 million house. There's no way that I have the resources to build $1 million house. So that is not one of my goals. It's not relevant to me and where I am. The T on the SMART goal is time bound. Okay, do you have a time limit to your goal? When is this goal due by? How long will it take to accomplish the goal? And when am I going to work on this goal? So not just, okay, it's due at the end of the year, but okay, I'm going to work on this on Saturdays. Okay, I'm going to work on this on Sundays. All right, so what I want you to do right now, and just kind of as a show and tell, right, is you can find templates like this that have all those questions down there. I know y'all didn't write all the measurements out. Just Google SMART goals, and there's all sorts of templates that have this out there if this is the way you want to structure your goal setting. But what I want to do now is I want to show you just a couple of my goals. So at the beginning of the year, I wrote out some goals. On this paper, I just printed out one paper. I've got my spiritual goals, and I've got some work goals on here. An example of some of my spiritual goals, I want to keep current in my daily devotional reading. So I've got, along with a Bible reading plan, I've also got Thoughts from the Diary of a Desperate Man by Walt Hendrickson. And so I'm keeping up with this. So I can turn to it, and what day am I on? So I know what that goal is. It's very specific to me. I want to journal and write out a prayer for all 150 Psalms and 31 Proverbs. So that's very specific, right? I've got all the Psalms, all the Proverbs, and I'm going to have a journal entry and a prayer through each one written out, where I can ask my wife, hey, you know, here's what I got out of Psalm 3. What do you think? So I want to memorize. I've got a couple of specific verses here, and then I've got, you know, a little bit more broad too. But I want to memorize Philippians 4:8-9, and I want to memorize the entire book of Psalm. And then I also want to reach, let me ask this question. How many of you guys in here for Scripture Review use the Scripture Typer app? Anybody, a handful of you guys? So that's an application for your phone that helps with Scripture Typer Review for me. It's been successful for me. There's many methods to do that, right? But I want to reach 120 verses on my mastered list, so on my review list on Scripture Typer. I started the year with 94. So that means that's 26 new verses that I'm going to be adding throughout the year onto my mastered list. That's not the only ones I'm going to be working on, but that's the ones that I've got word perfect down for it. And I've got a way to measure that. I can hand my phone over and say, here's where I am, Bobby. Take a look. You know, review me on these verses. I want to stay current on my Scripture Review. So Scripture Typer is a method that goes through and it'll say, hey, you haven't reviewed this in 2 months. Review it. And so the way I wrote this goal is I want no more than 10 verses due at any given time on my Scripture Typer review list. And then I've got another goal of a book called Celebration of Discipline that a friend of mine recommended to me. And so I want to go through and outline every chapter. And read, not just read the book, but actually take notes and outline what every chapter is. That helps me learn what's in the book, is really writing it down. And then lastly, and this is one where I didn't really have a way of doing a SMART goal when I wrote it, so I've kind of come a little bit full circle on it, but I want to change my phone and internet habits from social media / sports to spiritual subjects. So that goes back to Philippians 4:8-9, right? Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And so Bobby talked about Instagram earlier, right, and ESPN and Sports Illustrated and Facebook and all social media. I spend way too much time looking at that instead of focusing on what is right and true and pure and noble. So that's a goal that I got here, is change my internet habits. I wrote the question, how do I quantify this? One thing that I've done on my phone, I've downloaded what's called the Moment app, or Moments. And so this will tell me how long I spend on my phone every day. So I know that when I'm looking at my phone, I'm typically not looking at spiritual stuff. I've got Scripture Typer, I've got the Bible app, but I've also got way too many other apps, whether it's work-related, social media, hobby-related, that I spend way too much time on. So that Moment app tracks how much time I spend on my phone. All right, that's some SMART goals. So I want to take just 3 or 4 minutes. I want you guys to think about the priorities that you had. Just pick one priority and write out one goal that you can take home with you after today. Because we really want this workshop, right, to be something you can apply to your life. So I want to just take about 3 or 4 minutes and write one. Try to be specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound goal that you can take home and work on. While you're doing that, I'll also mention that list of goals that I have, I mentioned the community group model that our church is in. I handed these goals to all three of the other men in my community group, and I told them, hey, when we meet together, I want you guys to ask me about this. Accountability towards whether it's a goal or whatever it is, accountability and living in community is vital importance towards being productive. Take that blank section there where you've got the lines and write a goal. If you haven't finished one today, just take some time this afternoon and write a goal. I want to move on, though, to another tool, right? These are tools that we can use to be more productive. The next tool I want to do, I quoted Tim Challies earlier in the book, Do More Better. Do More Better is a little 100-page book with practical application for time management, really a method for time management. So I want to go through that and some of the tools he recommends and just mention those to you and give you that as well. He defines productivity again as effectively stewarding your gifts, talents, time, energy, enthusiasm for the good of others and the glory of God. This means you are responsible to take all you have and direct it towards this one great goal. Right? 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether then you eat, drink, or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Colossians 3:23 also, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as if working for the Lord, not for men. The organizational principle that Tim lays out is that there is a home for everything and like goes with like. So how many of you guys use some sort of email system and you've got folders built in your email system where you dump things in? Right? So that's an example of that. If I'm dealing with my community group, all my emails are going to go into that community group file. So Tim lays out that in order to be productive, the method to use for being productive, you need three essential tools. And so there's different tools for this one. It's more of the theme of the tool, right? The first is task management. A task management tool enables you to capture and organize your tasks and projects. The second is scheduling. A scheduling tool enables you to organize your time and notifies you of pending events and appointments. And the last tool is an information tool. An information tool enables you to collect, archive, and access information. So let me give you some examples of those, all right? The first one I'm going to do is the scheduling tool, just because that's probably the one that you all probably in some way already do or at least familiar with. An example of that would be a paper calendar, right? Now, the paper calendar, the one downside about that is the beauty of technology is they have notifications, right? And you put it on a technological calendar, and it'll pop up on my iPhone 30 minutes advance. Hey, you got a doctor's appointment. You need to go. Paper calendars are great tools. My wife uses one. It works for her. I fail miserably flaming out at that because I'm like, oh, great. I had an appointment 2 hours ago. I missed it. But I knew it was today. Paper calendars don't work for me. I personally use Outlook. Outlook is what we have at the office. So I do all my calendar stuff on there. Again, we want to use this for appointments or events. When you have to be somewhere or be on a phone with somebody, there's a specific time to be with somebody. Tim, actually, he likes Google Calendar. Google Calendar is the calendar he likes to use. He also recommends Apple Calendar in addition to Outlook. The next tool, which is going to be more your day-to-day tool, is that task management tool. So this is something I was unfamiliar with until I read this book. So reading this book, there's five that he, and these are websites and apps that you can use. The first one that he uses and he recommends is called Todoist, T-O-D-O-I-S-T. And so because he recommended it, I went ahead and started using that one. But there's others as well, Wunderlist, Asana, Things, and OmniFocus. And these are all .com, right? But Wunderlist with a W-U-N-D-E-R-L-I-S-T, Asana, Things, and OmniFocused. And what this does is when you have a task, you put it in there. Hey, I need to buy flowers for my wife. Okay, I'm putting in there, right? It's not a scheduled appointment where I'm meeting with her for this. It's something that I need to do for her. If it's a work, I need to call this customer, or maybe not call this customer, but review their file before the call, right? So I'll review the file. It's in my calendar to call them, but it's on my task list to review the file. So we want to take, and there's organizational methods, just like the email with the folders. In these tools, you can create folders. And so I've got folders in mind for my personal life. So, and even subfolders there for me, for home projects, for my wife, for my kids, for just administration items for the house. You know, whenever I need to renew the insurance or call to renegotiate my cable bill or whatever it is, you know, I'm including that in there as well. I have a folder there for work items, so all my responsibility and work, so I have subfolders, and I'm putting like with like. I'm putting the work stuff with work stuff, the personal stuff with the personal stuff, the ministry stuff with the ministry stuff, so it's all organized, color-coded, it's nice and easy to use. This has helped me get so much more done where I'm not, hey, it's Thursday, I really should have called so-and-so or sent that email out 2 days ago to the group in my Bible study. I didn't get them the resource they needed. I failed. And so this has helped me stay on top of that to do those tasks that were slipping through the cracks. Remember earlier I said we're all getting busier every single day. The last type of tool is called an information tool. And so is anybody in here familiar with Evernote or Notability or OneNote or Dropbox? So those are all sources of information tools. So really what this is just somewhere where you can throw your data. Okay, so maybe I have a task on my task list to plan a vacation for me and my family. That's on my task list, right? Well, maybe if I've been collecting information, I've been looking at Airbnb and I've got this certain place picked out, well, I'm going to drop it into my information tool. And I'm also going to drop my flight information in there if I'm doing it. And maybe some restaurants. I've researched some restaurants. So I'm dropping all that information in there so that then when I'm ready to do my task and actually book the vacation, then I'm going to there and I'm seeing, okay, this is what I've found over the last 3 weeks that I've been looking this up in my spare time. So an information tool is the third tool. If you are like me before I read this book, I was flying by the seat of my pants. And we already established we're all getting busier every single day. I highly recommend getting some sort of system in place. There's many books out there. What drew me to this book, besides great references from men I know, it's 100 pages. It's an easy read, and it's an application book. So there are takeaways that as you're reading this, go do this. And so I highly recommend Do More Better by Tim Challies. So those are two of the tools that are highly useful for being productive, right? SMART goals and having some sort of system in place. I gave you a quote earlier from Nick Saban. I want to end on another one. The second quote that I have is, success doesn't come from pie in the sky thinking. It's a result of consciously doing something each day that will add to your overall excellence. So I read this quote, and immediately I went to Joshua 1:8. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. If we're going to be successful in managing our time, priority one that Bobby laid out, our relationship with God. If you're not right with God, you're not going to be productive in those other areas of your life. So with that, I think we just want to open it up to any questions you may have. And also just I'll point out the orange sheets on there are the surveys. Again, want to open it up to any questions you have for either Bobby or myself.
Yes, sir. In the priorities issue, how do you prioritize being your brother's keeper?
Give me an example of how you do that. Like, what do you mean by be your brother?
So, like, in the watermark model of community, like, how do you prioritize checking in on the guys in your community and reaching out to them? And, like, where is that on your list?
Yeah, I would probably put that under that category of being a good husband and father. Okay. Because I have to have them, I need accountability. to be a good husband and father. I have to have them exposed, my wife exposed to other women who are speaking into her life. My children are getting acclimated to be able to reconcile differences when they're fighting with my community group members' children. So all of that, for me, falls under the category of being a good husband and father, how I steward that time.
So I'll answer that a different way, because we all have different perspectives, right? It's one of my priorities, actually, being a lay businessman, I have a priority of my ministry. And so underneath my ministry, the 2-7 series falls under that, and how I'm doing there, and also my community group, and how I'm checking in with those guys. So that's a separate priority for me that falls in line underneath, am I serving myself, my family, others, is kind of the way I prioritize my list. But, it's all personal, right? And so it works either way.
How often do you adjust those priorities, those goals? So you got your sheet at the beginning of the year. Are you intentional about revisiting that, or you rely on accountability guys to do that? Or?
That's for it, for his.
Yeah. Yeah. So both, right? I do rely on my guys. If I'm spending my time and my priorities on something, they're going to call me out on it. They know me well enough. But that's if it's not on my list, but in my actions are prioritizing it. For my priorities list, that's actually one of the things that Tim goes into. He does a daily review, a weekly review, and you can spread it out or shorten it up as much as you want, but what you notice is as you're filling out tasks, and really, guys, when you put a tool in place like this, it's only as good as the data that's going into it. So if you put one of your 10 tasks on that list, your tool's not going to be effective, right? So you use it even for the little things. My folders are my priorities. So if that folder doesn't have any items in the list, one, am I prioritizing it? But two is the question, should I prioritize it? Does that need to be a priority in my life? And so that kind of, on a weekly check-in, I'm seeing that on... Right. And it's a website too, app, website. Website, for me, I'm at the computer all day, so I leave the website open at my desk. And so it's I use the app, but the website's easier for me because I sit at a computer. But the app is highly effective as well. Yes? Discipleshiplibrary.com. And actually, all of the talks are going to be out here. I believe it is referenced in the pack as well. But they've got resources out there. It's Navigator material and talks that they've put together. It is also, you can Google Tyranny of the Urgent, and you can find PDFs out there. The 2-7 series, again, has a copy of it in here. So there's lots of ways to do it. But discipleshiplibrary.com, I believe it is in here. What page is that on? 21 has the address and everything to it. And again, there's, Google's amazing thing. Technology that we have is unreal today.
How many goals are you suggest setting? Because I don't want to set too many and find myself not accomplishing any of them.
Mm-hmm.
But to set a decent amount where I can still focus.
That's a great question. Do you want to take a stab at that?
I would, for myself and my goals, they need to line up with those priorities in my life. And generally, per priority is about what I can manage, and so not to spread myself too thin. So if you're a 7 priority guy, then you might have 7 goals that you're working on. And much like Steve said, if one of those is falling off, if you're not able to accomplish or even think about priority number 6's goal, should it be one of your priorities, right? Especially once we get outside of that golden 3 at the top. And so that's how I would do
that. And what he just said, it's what I can manage, I think, is the best measure of that. There's no set number, right? You know yourself better. It's easier to start with 1, 2, 3, accomplish that, and then add another one, than it is to throw up a list of 10 and not get any of it done. So start short, get that accomplished, and then move on, then come up with another one. It's, goals are flexible. Goals are constant, they're moving. We want time bound, but that doesn't mean it has to be 2017 goals. It can be, hey, this is my goal for KMI for this 3 days. Okay, well, I'm done with that, I'm going to write another goal for the next month. So each goal is going to have a different time period, but what you can handle, what you can manage, I would start short, accomplish those goals, and then just grow the list as you get into the rhythm of it.
And the different tools that you use when you start to knock off some of those, like the Todoist, they have some fun little pieces to that, whereas you're, if you get more proficient in doing them, there's a little score, like they kind of know us a little bit. And as you get better at it, your score kind of goes up, and you start to watch that happen, and it sort of feeds itself to get you to continue to use those tools a little bit more. So your goals get accomplished, therefore you start looking for more goals so that you can get more skills.
Bobby's a little bit competitive, if you haven't noticed.
Anything else, guys? So you have those yellow sheets in front of you. It'd be really helpful to us. I think this is my first time to do this. Steve, you had helped once before.
Yeah, I've done three.
He's done three.
I've helped in three.
He's had a little more exposure, but I would love whatever feedback we could get to make this time. For the next group next year that we get a chance to lead, whatever that topic might be, how do we make that better for them? How do we bring more glory to God in what we present and the way we present it? So if you think about that as you write out your review there, we'd really, really appreciate it. I'm going to pray us out. Or actually, Steve, you pray us out. I'll pray us in. So.
All right. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for these men in this room and these men at this conference, Father. And I just I pray that as we start this conference, that we hit it off real quickly and early here, Lord, on what our priorities and time management may be, Lord, that we may prioritize you, that we may seek your glory and to do good to others as we go about our weekend, our next week, our month, our year, Father. I just pray that we can, whatever we do, that we do for the glory of God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, gentlemen.